You're listening to Worshiping God God's Way. I'm Steve Erspringer. The other day, I took a drive down to the coast. I'm about 15 minutes away. And I went down to a certain spot that I usually go to. And I was just out there watching everybody and taking some time to relax. It was Sunday afternoon. And I had a woman come up to me. And I noticed that she was there, but I didn't really know what she was doing. But she came up to my car and she put her head in the window and she said, do you have a few minutes? I'd like to ask you something. I said, sure, I have no problem. Yeah, what can I help you with? And she said, I'm going to be preaching on Sunday morning, and I want to run something by you to see what you think. And I thought that was really odd because I was just sitting outside my car for about 15 or 20 minutes. We hadn't talked. We hadn't looked at each other. She noticed a sticker on the back of my truck, and it made her think, well, maybe I should go up and ask him if he would want to listen to this. So I did. I said, yeah, I wouldn't mind listening to what you have to say, but can you tell me what church is it that you're going to go speak at? She tells me where it is, and then she tells me what it is. And I realize, well, you know, it's not the normal church that I go to, but I said, you know what? Tell me whatever you want to tell me. Let me listen to it, and I'll give you some feedback if I can. And then she said to me, well, I have to sing it. I'm going to sing some of it. And I kind of thought, okay, what have I got myself into here? She goes, I'm going to sing the song in Spanish, and then I'm going to sing it in English. So I let her start. She started to sing the song in Spanish, and I said, you know, she had a good voice. It sounded great, really. And then she stopped and she goes, oh, I can tell you don't know Spanish. I said, yeah, I don't know any Spanish. But she goes, if you want, I'll sing in English for you. I said, okay. She sang the song in English all the way to the end. It was pretty long. I had some great words. It talked about Jesus. It talked about serving one another. And I listened and I thought, well, that's pretty good. So she stopped and then she started to share with me. She was an older woman, probably really, I think, and looked to be probably in her early 80s. She had real long gray hair and she just was had the face of what I would consider an 80-year-old, 70 or 80-year-old. And she was kind of frail. She's wearing nice clothes and she was very articulate. And she was telling me that she was going on a mission to Argentina. And that she had been in a lot of missions her whole life, and she was just preparing for this mission, and now she was going to, on that next Sunday, that Sunday morning, that she was going to have to give a speech and talk about what she was going to be doing. And so she started to share with me some things, and I had, at one moment, I stopped and I said, her name was Beverly. I said, Beverly, let me just say something. Jesus, you're talking about Jesus a lot, and I want you to know that Jesus is really the Lord. He's the Lord over everything. Jesus is the one who laid his life down for us. And I talked to her a little bit, very calmly and casually, about just following Jesus, and that was the most important thing. And it was very short. The things I had to say were very short. But then she continued to tell me and read through her notes and tell me what she was going to say. And during that time, she quoted a few prophets, one or two prophets that were in her area, were very popular. She quoted some verses out of the Bible, and she also quoted some verses out of the book that she uses. And then she got done, and she said, well, you know, what do you think? And I thought, you know, Beverly, really what you're talking about is Jesus, and you're doing a great job. I just complimented her. I said, you just relax, deliver it, be who you are. Try not to be super nervous, because I know it gets a little when you're in front of people, you can get nervous and mess up. But I said, don't worry about that. Just be yourself. And she was very sweet, but I really felt in my spirit that I needed to lay hands on her and pray for her. So out there in that little area where all the cars are parked and people are walking back and forth with surfboards and, you know, beach chairs and all this stuff, and there it's pretty crowded there. I just laid my hands on her and I said, I want to pray for you. So I laid my hands on her, prayed that Jesus would make himself known to her, that she would find out really who he is, and she would find that she could serve him and worship him. And She just received the prayer, and she really became very teary-eyed and began to weep and cry. And I could tell the Lord was just releasing her from a lot of bondage. So after that, I realized that she was just like the woman at the well, in a sense. She had in her mind, in her life, in all the things she had experienced, she had a book that she carried. She went to a specific temple, and she worshiped prophets. She believed in prophets. They had their own set of prophets. The woman at the well had the same thing. She had her book, she had her temple, and she had her prophets. And I told Beverly, I said, Beverly, it's not about those things. Every religious group, Christians included, Methodists, Presbyterians, non-denominationalists, just whoever, all the Christian people, they all have their book, they all have their temple, the place where they go, and they all have certain people that they consider to be, say, prophets in a sense. They listen to certain teachers, and all of it, I told Beverly, I said, everybody has their own, those three things. And I said, when the woman from the well came to Jesus, Jesus didn't talk about those things to her. Jesus talked to her about the things his father was interested in. He told the woman at the well that his father was looking for worshipers, people who would really worship him. And he explained that. And we've talked about that so much in this podcast. But this woman that day down by the beach, she was no different than the woman at the well. She carried those three things with her like we do. But just like us, her as well, all of us together, we need to find Jesus. We need to draw near to Jesus. And we need to know what it means to worship Jesus. Because worshiping Jesus and serving Jesus are the two things that any human being, every human being, I should say, is called to do. And it doesn't matter where you go to church, who you listen to, and it does matter which book you read, and God will lead you to that. Jesus wants you to be reading the right book and listening to the right prophets, guys, and the right stories. But at the same time, he will overlook those things just to get to you, just to get to Beverly. I didn't have to stand there and talk to her about the things of her religion. Jesus didn't talk to the woman at the well that much about her religion. And I didn't have to do that with Beverly because I knew she knew that I could reference things and she could reference things back and there could be a scriptural battlefield going on. And Jesus didn't want that to happen. He wanted her to find him and to find what God wants, his father wants for her. And I could have said, no, you shouldn't go to church there. You shouldn't read that book. These prophets are fake. You shouldn't listen to them. But I didn't need to say that. I just needed to tell her. I said this just like Mary. When Mary came to Jesus, she anointed his feet and she bowed and she worshiped there. That was her service to Jesus. I said, Beverly, that's what you need to find. That's what you need to do. And I shared it with her because she had listened all her whole life to a lot of people talking about a lot of things and a lot of scriptures and a lot of religious service. And it's not all bad. What she was reading to me out of her notes, if you wouldn't have known she was from a specific group, you would have thought she was just a Christian saying to you, yeah, I'm going to go out and serve and minister Jesus to people. But that's not really what it was. But I had to say this. The Bible's really clear. And it's in Philippians 2, verse 10 through 11. It's in Romans 11, 4. You can read it in Ephesians 3, 14. It says that every person is going to bow their knee and every person is going to confess. The word for bowing down in Philippians 2 is kapto. It means to bend yourself low. It's not it's not the word we've talked about for this whole year, prosukineo. It's a different feeling. It's a different word. It means that you're just going to bend yourself low because. It's not because you're in love with what you're seeing. It's not because you're overwhelmed. It's just that you're going to be seeing God for the first time. And your response, every human's response, is going to be to bow low. That's what it is. And so when we read these scriptures in Philippians and Romans and Ephesians, you see people that just have learned that bowing before God is just as important as confessing the Lord. We've put so much emphasis on confessing the Lord that we seldom talk about bowing before the Lord. Billy Graham, when he did all those crusades, at the end of each one, he would say, I want you to come forward if you're willing to confess with your mouth, and I want you to bow your knee. Billy Graham didn't leave out bowing down, and he didn't leave out confession. That's the two things that a human being need to do. And so I was trying not to wrestle with Beverly's religion. I wanted to get her attention spiritually about the two things that really mattered: worshiping Jesus, bowing yourself down, and confessing his name to those that you know. It was evident to me when I finished praying for her that the Holy Spirit was speaking into her heart, into her spirit. She was very burdened. She was very heavy. She had lost a son to drugs when she was younger. She had followed a religious order that was very demanding, and she looked very tired. And I knew that the Holy Spirit could reach into there and reach into her and heal her, and he would do it two ways. He would want her to do two things: to confess Jesus, which she was doing, and to bow herself down before him. And it's the same with us. It's the same with every person on the planet. And it's interesting to me because we seem to lose sight of the bowing, but we promote the confession. The declaring of God is important for all of us, but we emphasize it. We make services around declaring and warring and singing and congregating, just like Beverly. Beverly was doing the same things, but first of all, though, she didn't know really who Jesus really was, and she didn't understand what worship was. So when I finished talking to her and I left, I got in my car and I drove away, the Lord really put it on my heart to say this to you if you're out there and you're listening to this podcast. You know, it's not the book, it's not the temple, it's not the prophets, it's Jesus. Jesus is the one who you worship. Jesus is the one you listen to. The Holy Spirit is the one who will teach you. But if you can't get yourself to follow Jesus, you won't get yourself to be able to worship him. If you run into Jesus at some point, he's going to require, he's going to ask, he's going to work, put you in a place where he can speak into your life and get you to understand two things: worshiping him and serving him. Many of us as Christians are struggling not with confession, but with the idea of worshiping Jesus. And Beverly had that problem. When I prayed and asked that she would see Jesus like Mary saw Jesus, she began to weep. She realized that she didn't see Jesus in the right way. She didn't know. She had heard about him, but she didn't know him. And so when I talk to you about worshiping God, worshiping Jesus, being worshipers, that's really what it's all about. Keep your book, keep your Bible, read your verses, go to the temple, go to your sanctuaries, go to your gatherings. Go there and do all the scriptures that you know you're supposed to do. Do everything that you've been told, but at the same time, worship Jesus. No one's going to tell you, yes, you can bow down. You need to bow down regardless. No one's going to leave a room, make room for you. They weren't making room for Beverly to worship either. She was doing what we were doing. She was sitting in pews listening to preachers and teachers and all those things, but it's not any different. So, but for you and myself, we need to make sure that we're in that spot where we worship Jesus. And we stop wrestling with it. We're free to confess. We believe that. We're free to worship. You need to do that. You need to grab a hold of those two things and make it your life. If you're worried about ministry, God will take care of that ministry. I was standing in the middle of the street down at the beach somewhere, and I entered into a very incredible moment of ministry. And I wasn't even looking. I felt like Paul was just working in his leather shop and someone walked in and said, "Hey, tell me about Jesus." It was that simple. But at the same time, that doesn't replace my act of worshiping Jesus. Matter of fact, it makes it even more important. And I would just pray for Beverly. I pray that the Lord would make her a worshiper, grab a hold of her and turn her into a worshiper, a believer, a person who can confess and worship. Every tongue will confess, every knee will bow. Philippians 2:10, Romans, Ephesians, even in the book of John, it talks about not worshiping idols, but worshiping Jesus. So if you're going to be worshipers and you want to worship God God's way, then you just have to do it. I told Beverly, listen, Beverly, you just need to see Jesus and meet him where he is. Don't let all of this stuff distract you. Don't let the temple distract you. Don't let your books distract you. Don't let your prophet's words become more important than Jesus' words. And on top of all of that, when you come to Jesus and you're serving Jesus, if you want to worship him, you have to worship the way he wants to be worshiped. You have to worship the way God has set it up. He said, worshiping God, God's way, is the answer to your situation. It's the answer to your life. You've had a long life, I've told her. The Holy Spirit spoke into her life about the years that she had been serving and what had happened in her life. The Holy Spirit revealed incredible things to her that morning. But she realized that, and I'm praying she continues to realize that she can worship God God's way, not man's way, not by the temple's way, not by just a religious way, not just something in your mind or something you're told to do and made into doing a certain way and a couple things here and a couple things there, but just really bowing before God and worshiping him. So if you think about worshiping Jesus, of course I'm going to say you need to bow down before him. You need to bend low before him because that is where worship takes place. It's not in reading a scripture or singing a song or listening to someone teach. Those are other things. Worshiping Jesus is the actual occurrence, the actual bowing. It's actually going before him and really worshiping God God's way.